This is the Horse Radio Network.
This episode is brought to you by Equidirectory, an online horse business directory and marketplace where more than 5,000 other equestrians have listed their business. Equidirectory is owned and operated by fellow Leadline community member Yvette Montgomery, who wants you to know that basic business listings are totally free on her platform. Sign up and list your business today by downloading the Equidirectory app or visiting equidirectory.net.
Welcome to the Leadline Podcast, the show where we believe that running your own horse business should feel less like a chore and more like the life you've always dreamed of. Join us as we share valuable advice on how to become more focused, more organized, and more profitable in your horse business. And now, here's your host, Mandy Flanders.
Hey, hey, it's Mandy, and welcome to episode 21 of the Leadline Podcast. Today, I want to talk to all of the DIY entrepreneurs out there. First, let me start out by saying that DIY or do-it-yourself entrepreneurs are true forces to be reckoned with. You possess a lot of different talent and skills that the average Joe would never dream of doing. Even so, is doing everything yourself the best thing for the overall growth of your business? Maybe not. In this episode, I'm joined by Jamie Samples, the powerhouse entrepreneur behind Yellow Barn Media, who says that DIY is not always the answer when you're looking to scale and build your business. For several years, Jamie has been chasing her dream to create a life for her family that offered the freedom to have all of the time in the world to build great memories. And part of that dream was to reach her first six-figure goal. Well, it was easier said than done, but 15 years later, Jamie has finally found a system that changed everything for her, and in 2021, she has finally celebrated her first ever six-figure year. Now, did she do it by doing everything by herself? Well, you'll have to listen and find out, but if you are a serial DIYer who feels stuck and unable to hit your next benchmark goal, keep listening to hear what Jamie has to say. Hey, Jamie, and welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you join me here today.
Hi, Mandy. I'm so honored to be here.
So, Jamie, you and I have been Facebook friends for a really, really long time, and we only recently just started connecting a little bit more, which is interesting after all of these years. But as some of our listeners know, I had been out of the horse industry for a while, and you know, we stayed Facebook friends during all that time. And then when I came back, boom, here we were. We started talking. So I've been really excited to get to know more about you and see how far you've come in your business over the years and where you're going with everything. So that's been really exciting.
Well, yeah. And obviously, we love social media, both of us, right? And there's so many benefits to it personally. Obviously, we both use it in our business, but it's so amazing with the type of people you connect with and how we connect. And then, you know, you and I were, I think, just on a podcast together and it was so much fun. And we just get, you know, the more you learn about people, the more you learn how we can collaborate too, because that's very important.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of social media, that's one of the reasons you're here today, because I saw an Instagram post that you put up a couple weeks ago that really caught my attention. And I reached out to you and said, hey, I think we need to talk about this a little bit more. So tell me a little bit about that post where you had shared that you had just recently reached one of your big goals.
Yeah. So I've been doing this for like 15 years and every year you always set a goal, right? But it's taken me a long time to really, for me and my business, to hit six figures in a year. And I've been doing all the right things, but for some reason it just hasn't like gelled, you know, each year. But this last year it has and it's been beautiful. And what I have found to be, you know, I always like to look back and reflect at my business and where I've come from and things like that. And the one thing that I have found that has made a huge difference, and I know has helped me get to this point, is that I started outsourcing the things that are not in my zone of genius. I love that term, zone of genius, because for me, if I am not like awesome at it and it doesn't bring me joy to where I'm dancing around as far as the work I'm doing, I want someone else to do the work and pay them to do it. And that's made a huge impact in my business.
I think it's something that doesn't really get talked about enough, how entrepreneurs are always trying to bootstrap and save money and do everything themselves. And what we often don't realize is that that tends to hurt our business instead of grow our business. We think that we're doing it to save money, but in the long run, are we really saving with all of the extra time that we're putting into those things that we don't even like to do? So we're going to dive into that a bit today and talk about, you know, why that's so important, how to define those things that you don't need to do in your business that you should be outsourcing, and how that's helped you become a six-figure business owner. One of the reasons I love you, Jamie, is that you're not someone who blows smoke. You know, you see a lot of people on the internet and they talk about their great six-figure business and how successful they're doing. They don't talk about the hard stuff and they really don't get into the details of like what mistakes they made along the way. One thing that you had said in your post and that you mentioned here as well is that you've been in business for a long time, for 15 years. Now, why do you think it took you so long to come to that realization after being in business for so long?
Well, it truly was the school of hard knocks. And I'll tell you one thing. It's when, especially in the marketing space, when you see all of these people on social media that are all of like the big people taking these vacations and posting on Instagram, if you really truly knew the truth about a lot of them, that's not really their real life. Now, there are a ton of people that are uber successful, but for me, I got into this trap of this is what I should be doing because everyone says I should. And for those of you that actually know me, I'm weird. I have a lot of quirky things about me. I'm kind of a rebel, but I do believe in following true leadership and seeing what people that are actually successful are doing. And because I am stubborn, that's just the truth. It took me a lot longer because I tried to do what everyone else told me to do. Like, you should do it this way. I talked to coaches that were like, if you don't invest $20,000 in my coaching, you're going to be a failure, or you're not really serious about business. There were just a lot of lies out there. And then also for me, there was just a lot of growth that I needed. So for me, essentially, I think it was just a matter of my personality, I needed to walk through some of that stuff. And you also do have the side things of, you know, your family. And I had, we adopted our son. So we had to go through that whole process. And there were just a lot of life things that happened too within those 15 years. But thank God I finally was able to take all of the things that didn't work and find out what did.
I would love to address some of the things that you feel you would go back and maybe do a little bit differently, or that you learn from over the process and over time that you might go back and share with someone else so that it doesn't take them as long.
Yes, I have a very long list, but I will share. My list of things that didn't work is much longer, but I think that's why I am where I am today. So again, I mentioned your zone of genius. In your business, what are you great at? Focus on that. So the things that didn't that were not in my zone of genius were things like accounting. If I would have hired an accountant early on that taught me, like actually worked with me, another entrepreneur that understands how like true small businesses work, having an accountant help me along the way, I wish I would have done that earlier. I think I would have also hired someone early on to build a very functional, simple website instead of trying to do it myself. Because I don't like technology. I know people think it's hilarious when I say that, but I don't love technology. But I think kind of what it comes down to is I would have hired a coach much earlier. There's a lot of people out there that say coaches are, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000. That's not the case. There are so many communities where you can connect with people, and a coach doesn't even have to be a coach. If you find or you have someone in your life that's in your industry that understands what you're doing, or it doesn't have to be in your industry, but someone that you can sit with that can hold you accountable and help you navigate through certain challenges. I just always thought to myself, I have to do the hustle. I have to do the entrepreneur thing. I can't ask for help. That's weakness. And I believed a lot of that in the beginning. So I think it is about truly tapping into what you enjoy doing as a business owner, but not negating the things that you know you need to do, but they just stay on your to-do list. Outsource those suckers. Like, get them off your list and have someone help you. So that's kind of a short list. But for me, I think truly if I would have found the right coach early on, and I would not have done so many of the DIY courses for $47, $97, there's value in those. There's total value. But depending on where you are and what your learning style is, I needed someone to hold my feet to the fire for me to get stuff done. And I just tried to do it myself for too long.
What are some tips that you have for people that might be looking for a business coach to work with?
Find someone you like. Find someone you trust. Now, in saying that, I'm going to use this example. So I do have a great business coach myself. She's amazing. However, I recently hired a health coach. I like him as a person. As a coach, he makes my blood boil. However, I need that. I'm paying him to get me healthy, to help me start a new lifestyle. And I'm paying him a lot of money. And he's someone I could totally hang out with him and his family. But when I go to see him, I'm just like, oh, because he's scolding me in love. So I feel like what I tend to do is this. Don't buy a coaching package off of something you see and it feels good, or you feel the pressure to buy it and you're like, oh, I'll just put it on the credit card. It's a new year. You know, something's coming up. I'm just going to do it. The way I found my business coach was I'm in a big mom group. She is not a horse person. I was totally just working with horse businesses at the time that her and I chatted, but I didn't care. I didn't even ask for her credentials, nothing. I watched her for honestly about 6 months in a mom group and how she interacted and how she posted. And for me, when she launched her offer, I signed up in like 5 minutes. She doesn't live around here. She has a totally different lifestyle as I do. She was the perfect match for me.
I think there's a lot of red flags out there too when you're looking for coaches. And one that you actually mentioned was rushing into something and impulsively buying. So you already were familiar with this coach and you bought quickly because you had already been following her for a period of time. But there's definitely coaches out there who will try to rush you through their sales funnel and get you signed up immediately, and you are spending a lot of money. But it's that sense of urgency, like, oh, hey, the price is going to go up. It's going to go up. You better buy now. And I've definitely fallen prey to that in the past. So I think it's, you know, there's definitely things to watch out for.
Yes, I totally agree with you. But there's also kind of the flip side of that. So yes, I have done the same thing. I have bought courses. I have signed up for like mini coaching sessions or like one-off type things. I think we've all done that because we desperately down deep desire to be successful. And so we're like just grabbing at straws. And so in the course of a year, we might end up spending $500, $1,000, $2,000 on these little courses here and there, when if we would have just walked it back a minute and said, what do I actually need, and go out and find that person. But here's the other thing with another coach that I hired, and I'm actually taking a course of hers. So it's not a one-on-one coaching. It is someone I have watched for, I would say 10 years, but I know for sure 7. I've never heard her say anything that I don't like. She is so authentic. It's ridiculous. Like, she's just so authentic. And now that I'm at a different level in my business, she has something. And I thought to myself, okay, she has this course. I've never, ever been able to afford this. And it's not something I can pay cash for right now. But I've been following her for so long and I've been so invested. I did get on her a sales call with one of her staff members, and they did kind of strong arm me a little bit. I still gave them my credit card number that day on the phone call because I had been following her and I knew that now I have to do the work. So I'm going to invest this large amount of money with someone that is so authentic and I've been following and I trust. You know, I don't know that I trust her with my kid yet because I don't really know her, but I trust her with my business. And I gave her a lot of money. And now I have to do the work for the course. So it is really, really challenging to find a coach. But when you find the right one and you realize that it's not a $200 investment, it is going to cost you a little bit of money. But if you look at if you want your business to be six figures or $500,000, you can't invest $500.
It's so true. And I do see a lot of equestrians, especially, kind of balking at some of the pricing on coaching. But that is part of the process. Sometimes you do need to invest some money to make some money. So going back to the DIY, because that is part of the investment conversation, a lot of times the big fear is, oh, I don't have enough money to pay someone else to do this for me, so I need to do it myself. How do you know which tasks to outsource first as you're building your business? Because I feel like there may be some items that are on the very top of that priority list, and then there's others that you could wait for but plan to outsource later.
So the way that I ended up figuring out what I was going to outsource and how I was going to do it, you know, did I have the cash to pay? Did I have a new client coming on? Am I going to put it on a credit card? What is that going to look like? For me, it was about, if I'm looking at something DIY, you have to truly know yourself. Sometimes I'm so excited and I'm like, oh, I'm going to do this DIY thing. Well, I don't do the work. And after you buy the course, there's no like follow-up, right? So I pay the $97 or the $197. I have this course. And also consider this. Sometimes these courses you're buying because you have this hope it's going to change your life, but then no one's holding your feet to the fire and you don't do the work. So then you just basically threw money out your window. The way that I started looking at it is this. For example, if I had a marketing funnel that I wanted to create, so I needed to create an opt-in, I needed to create an email series, and I needed to create the actual, you know, autoresponder to tell MailChimp or whoever what email is going to get sent where. How many hours will I spend on that task? If it's a one-off task and I'm going to spend 32 hours because I hate tech and it's going to take me hours and hours of insanely amounts of frustration, why on earth wouldn't I pay someone $1,200 to do it? So for me, it was, what are my billable hours? Like, what do I bill per hour roughly? How many hours am I going to spend doing it? Plus, do I really want to be mad for like a whole week about this one project because I don't like doing this task? Which, by the way, I love doing marketing funnels. That's just an example. But that's what I did, is I looked at how many hours I would spend, and then I would get some quotes on what it would cost to just have someone take it and do it.
I remember the first time I went and I hired someone to fix an issue with my website that I had literally probably spent 5 hours trying to resolve by myself. And they did it in literally like 15 minutes. It was done and handled. And I just sat there kind of appalled at myself for spending that amount of time on something that was such an easy fix for somebody else. And I'm pretty sure I only paid him $50 to take care of it. I was like, oh my God. So it's things like that, absolutely, that take up so much of your time, cause you extra stress, and it's just unnecessary.
Yes. And the one thing that I'll add too is this. So what I have done, because sometimes people, for a website is a great example. If you go and get a quote for like, you know, the kind of website you want, depending on who quotes it to you, you may be looking at $2,500, $3,500. It depends. That's just, you know, I'm just throwing out a number. But for me, what I did is I found someone that I wanted to design my website, and on a certain platform, I'm savvy enough to upload blogs and change the homepage slider. But I wanted someone who would do the kind of the back end, the programming, get it all kind of fleshed out, if you will. And then she let me finish it. So instead of it being the $3,500, I think I paid her maybe like $1,700 or $1,800. And the same thing goes with, I will say this too, is finding the right people. Like we talked about the coaching, it is sometimes hard, but I would, depending on what it is you want to outsource, if you don't have someone in your back pocket already that you know, like, hey, I want, you know, this person is an expert at this. If you don't have that already, go out to social media, go out to your personal connections and say, I'm looking for someone that does this. Do you know someone? Go out and get 5 quotes. You know, make sure you want to work with these people. Make sure they're reputable. That's a whole nother conversation. But don't be overwhelmed with projects and just let them sit on your desk, because that will hold you back.
Let's talk a little bit about the team that you built as well, because in that Instagram post that I keep referencing that you had written, you mentioned 3 things that really made a difference for you. So one was that you hired a coach. One was that you stopped doing everything yourself. And then the 3rd thing was that you hired a team. What does your team do?
They're amazing. First of all, they're all people that I love. They're people, they're women that I absolutely think they're amazing people. And so what I have currently going on because of where my business is at, I have a multitude of clients that I do done for you social media and email marketing for. So I actually have, it ranges, but between 3 and 6 people pretty much at all times doing something. But typically what they're doing right now is creating social media content for my clients, creating copy for emails, doing, you know, creating things in Canva, creating captions, doing hashtag research. And honestly, here's the thing. It's not that I don't love those, and those things are my zone of genius. But in order for me to grow and work on the strategy for each of my clients, I don't have the time now, my own self, because, you know, I'm like one person, even though my husband would tell you I'm a total tornado and I'm, you know, I'm never sleep, basically. But I still, in order for me to grow and get new clients, I have to have a team of people to do all of those things. So as of right now, that's mainly what they're doing. And my website and all that is pretty set right now, but I have people for that if and when I need it.
So what are some tasks that you really enjoy doing that you wanted to intentionally keep in your own wheelhouse?
I absolutely love creating email marketing campaigns and automations. I love looking at the overall strategy for a company. So a lot of my companies will come to me and say, hey, Jamie, you know, we think we need just email. And I'm like, well, no, you actually need like six other things, because a lot of the companies I'm working with now are larger companies. So it's nice for me. I know they have the bandwidth to branch out and do a few things. So I love writing. The more that I look at what I do and kind of how I've grown as a person and professionally, I still love writing captions for social media. However, writing emails and email campaigns, marketing, kind of overall big marketing funnels, that has been incredibly fun for me. And then, of course, just the behind the scenes strategy of how can we grow? How can we connect with, you know, how can I help them connect with their customers? So anything that has to do with people and a product, those two things, I just love meshing those together in strategy.
Do you ever struggle to hand things off to another person, or are you kind of over that at this point?
Oh, I still struggle all the time. I mean, that's just like this never ending thing for me, because I feel like, oh, I can do this and I can do this. And but it's much easier now. I mean, now I know, like, I'll look at my day, I'll look at my week, I'll look at my month, and I'll be like, Jamie, I have this like self-talk that goes on in my head. It's funny because half my team, their names are all Lindsay.
Oh my God. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's real crazy. But so I'm like, oh, got to call one of the Lindsays and just hand it off to them. And, you know, I'll message them from time to time and I'll be like, so I have this thing. And Mandy, you had said like you're kind of a verbal processor. And I am too. So I'll call them and I'll be like, so I'm thinking about this thing for this client we're working with. And I also use them as like a sounding board because we are such a collaborative team. But it is way easier now because I do know that when I offload something, it means my income literally is increasing. Because if I have the ability to offload this, that, you know, A, B, or C, then it means I have an additional form of income coming in because I have to clear my schedule to do something new. So that's been really exciting for me too.
When you went to start building your team, did you have to consider whether you were bringing these folks on as employees or contractors? How is that set up for you?
I talked to my accountant, of course, because now I have an accountant, or I have a bookkeeper and then I have an accountant. My bookkeeper is kind of my right-hand lady. And I talked to her and she's like, Jamie, with where you're going and where you're at, it's just going to make the most sense to have contractors. And it's funny because a couple of my contractors basically do the same thing I do. Now they've been doing it for like 1 to 3 years, but we're essentially trying to attract the same client. However, because, and I mean, I can say this, I used to feel weird about saying things like this, but because I have found a level of success that I'm very proud of, it's easy for me now to work with other people that are like that because it's 100% collaborative. I've sent them clients because sometimes, you know, I'll get people that I'm like, no, I cost too much now, you know, so I'll send my contractor's business. But to answer your question, I don't probably ever envision having employees unless I hire my husband. But I think for me, contractors, it just makes more sense. It's a very flexible relationship for everyone.
And I think that's something that sometimes scares people is they aren't sure how to bring on additional help and they aren't sure where to start. So for you, you had a circle of people and women that you really loved working with that you brought into your team. Not everyone's going to have that. So I think sometimes the hesitation to outsource is, you know, I don't know who I could trust. People think that. I don't know who I could trust with my business. I don't know where to start. How do I pay them? And then there's a question of, you know, getting them set up properly for accounting purposes. And a lot of people don't understand that from the get-go. And it's something that you have to learn.
Yes. And I just said this a few minutes ago, but don't not do something. That's super proper English. But don't let something just sit as a task because you're afraid or you don't know. this world is, I'll say, this world is full of crazy, obnoxious people, but it's also very overflowing with people that are willing to help you. I always tell people, like, just call me and ask me. I'm not going to charge you money. If you have a question, I don't care if you're doing the same thing I'm doing. If you're just getting started, ask someone that you trust. And it is hard to trust people. And especially, you know, because for me, I have to really trust my people because I'm sharing sometimes private information with my client knows that I have a team. But, you know, I have to really trust them. And that is a hard thing to find, even in a friend nowadays. So finding it in a business relationship can be very hard. But here's the other thing I will say. Every single person on my team, we talk every single day about personal things. Our lives are very similar. It's been such a blessing to have such wonderful people that work for me, but also that now are like my besties. Like we would go on a week, we'd go on a yearly retreat together. It's just great. You just have to wait and search and you'll find the right people.
I have said the same thing. My husband and I have made some bad business decisions in the past, and it was because we didn't ask anyone else for help. We didn't talk to anyone who was more experienced than us in that line of work. And it wasn't in the horse industry. It was actually in real estate. But we've made some bad investments. And one of the things that I said after we made probably one of the worst deals of our life was, you know what? We're never doing this alone again. There are people that know. And we were just being too proud to ask for help because we thought that we could figure it out by ourselves. But moving forward, I said, whenever there's that kind of money attached, we will never invest that kind of money again alone.
Well, and I think as an entrepreneur, a small business owner, it used to be a badge of honor to like take on the martyrdom of having your own small business. And, oh, I made these mistakes and now I'm like moving forward. Okay, but also like be wise. Like, don't be dumb, you know, like that's, it's not rocket science. Like there are, I don't know if, Mandy, do you know Gary Vaynerchuk is?
I do. Yes.
So just a short little sidetrack, but when I listen to everything he talks about, I just love it because he's like, there are great people out there you can do business with. You obviously have to do your due diligence. You have to be smart, ask for, you know, look at their references, call people, talk to people about their experience with them. But you really can build a team. You might have someone working for you 3 to 5 hours a month or 3 to 5 hours a week. If that's where you start, start somewhere and establish that relationship. Know that you can trust them and grow your business.
Absolutely. You can start people out at a minimal amount of hours. And I think that's something that people don't think of either, is that you don't have to commit to having someone for between 20 to 40 hours a week, especially if you're hiring someone to do a service for you and yet they're a contractor. You can use them just for a few hours at a time.
Yeah. And it really, it is very scary in the beginning. I know when I made kind of the big jump, I mean, I had hired people here and there, but in the beginning of 2021, I was like, this is no joke. I know where I want to go. I'm done messing around. And I'm also done being frustrated with work I frankly don't want to do, but it is part of my job, right? So, and we all have it. I love what I do or I wouldn't still be doing it, but there are always parts you don't love. So outsource it to someone else that loves that stuff as much as you love your stuff.
100%. You know what? I've got to throw this in there. For the first time this summer, my husband and I outsourced lawn mowing, which actually freed up a lot of time. We've had a neighbor who was doing everybody else's lawn. So we said, hey, how much for our lawn? And turns out it was really, really cheap. Let's have someone else mowing the lawn because it takes us with a push mower. We don't have a farm. We live in a little cottage by the lake. But even our lawn will take us like 2 or 3 hours with a push mower. And he zipped through, was done in like 20 minutes. And we were just blown away. It's crazy. Even outsourcing things in your personal life can free up so much time.
Yes. And I could talk about that for an hour. But I will say in the kind of when my business was a baby and I had a baby, you know, at the same time, I had like a mama's helper come over, a young mom who needed extra money. I paid her $10 an hour. She folded laundry, did dishes, and that freed me up to spend time with my kid. So, you know, and then of course work on my business. But it is just about being smart with your zone of genius and what do you love. That's not selfish. That's another thing. It's not selfish to do that. It's very smart.
Absolutely. We've tapped into so many nuggets today, Jamie. I've really enjoyed this conversation and I hope that others are realizing that you don't have to do everything by yourself. If anyone wants to connect with you online, where can they find you?
They can find me, of course, at the website, yellowbarnmedia.com, or on Instagram. I am at Equestrian Professional.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Jamie. I've really enjoyed our conversation today.
It was my honor. Thank you, Mandy.
If you've been enjoying these episodes of the Leadline podcast, can I ask you to do two quick things for me? Subscribe to the show so you always know when we have a new episode released. And be sure to leave us a review so other people know that this is the go-to podcast for equine entrepreneurs. Reviews help us continue to climb in the rankings and reach more people, and it would really help me out. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember, let's make more money, have more time, and have fun with our horses. I'm Mandy, and I'll see you next time.